is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Hawaii's Governor Josh Green says 101 lives have been lost in the Maui wildfires and stresses that protecting the land for locals is fundamental.
I've asked my attorney general to watch for predatory practices, and we will be embedding attorneys who are going to work pro bono for our people, Maui attorneys for Maui's people.
KCBS-TV's Jeff Nguyen is on Maui.
1 week since flames destroyed the historic town of Lahaina, survivors are struggling with trauma and loss.
I can't get my dog!
This couple was unable to save their family pet when the inferno broke out, but did their best to stay strong for their young daughter.
I don't think a six-year-old should ever have to see what she saw.
As the human death toll grows, members of the Hawaii National Guard have joined the search and recovery effort.
My dad's still there, and he refuses to come out, but there's certain things that he still needs.
Jeff Nguyen, CBS News, Maui, Hawaii.
Former President Trump and 18 co-defendants face multiple charges, including racketeering for alleged attempts to interfere with Georgia's 2020 election results. CBS's Nicole Killian in Atlanta.
The court filing cites 161 separate overt acts, ranging from lying to state legislators during a series of hearings at the Georgia Capitol to creating a false slate of electors and severe harassment of election worker Ruby Freeman. In a pair of Truth Social posts, Trump called the indictment a witch hunt, renewing his claims of election fraud in Georgia.
An entire police department in rural Minnesota resigns over pay and recruitment. Goodhue Police Chief Josh Smith last month stressed his frustration.
It's been 3 weeks now, we've got zero applicants, and I have zero prospects. I've called every PD around to get for the youngest guys out there getting into the game. There's nobody getting into the game.
The force's last day is Thursday. The union representing striking actors says it will limit which projects and producers can sign its interim agreements. The Actors Guild will exclude Writers Guild of America covered projects to help the WGA execute its strike strategy. SAG-AFTRA negotiator Duncan Crabtree Ireland.
The terms that we have put on the table with the AMPTP are not only realistic, but are actually desirable and usable by producers in this industry.
University of Michigan researchers looked at NIH and EPA data and found a link between air quality and mental decline. CBS's Alexander Tan.
Nearly 188,000 cases of Alzheimer's and other related dementia conditions each year are linked to bad air quality from sources like farming and wildfires.
Two deaths in Connecticut are linked to bacteria found in raw shellfish or seawater. One case was related to a wound, and a second involved a Connecticut resident who consumed raw oysters out of state. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You've heard the word a lot lately, but what does it mean to be arraigned? The Department of Justice describes it as the first court appearance for someone facing criminal charges. A judge reads those charges, then the accused enters a plea. At the end of an arraignment, a trial date is set along with bond. And depending on the severity of the charges, the judge can add conditions to take away the defendant's weapons or passport before being released. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station. Station and on the app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Here we go again. The most indicted president, that was the headline for many publications on August 2nd, 13 days ago.
Oh, was it only 13 days ago?
And it is remains true 13 days later that also happening in Georgia last night, which, you know, largely you think would have been the biggest story because this is the summer of women saving the economy between Barbie, Taylor Swift, and Beyonce.
And Pink.
And Pink. But Beyonce played in Atlanta last night. But something even more dramatic was going down at the courthouse down the street. In a sweeping indictment, President Trump and 18 others were accused of running a criminal enterprise in their efforts to overturn President Trump's loss in the 2020 presidential election in Georgia. Language historically used to take down mob bosses.
Pretty much.
And what's also is, it, you know, the shorthand is called RICO, which historically was used by Rudy Giuliani, who is also indicted in this case.
But he used it to go after mobsters.
He used it to go after mobsters in New York, which was his rise to, I mean, he took down a lot of the big guys.
Yeah.
And that was obviously his rise and what he was able to run on when then he was America's mayor. But according to the indictment, Trump and his allies, including, like I said, Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows, which I guess is really surprising. I was reading this morning that a lot of people had suspected Mark Meadows was actually collaborating and,
right,
and working with,
right,
these different cases. So the fact that he's indicted was a little surprising because he had yet to be indicted.
But he's been awfully quiet.
Yes. But they have been, according to the indictment, they tried to interfere with the Electoral College process through dozens of acts, such as harassing election workers and, in one case, breaching voting equipment in Coffee County, Georgia. And this is his, this is President, former President Trump's fourth indictment in 5 months. And he's pleaded guilty to the other criminal charges.
Not guilty.
Not guilty, sorry. And he will no doubt plead not guilty for this one as well. Similar rhetoric. This is a witch hunt. This is political. This is partisan.
Did you see his statement this morning?
I think I saw it, but if you...
That he's going to hold a press conference on Monday at his golf club in Bedminster with irrefutable proof that the election was stolen.
Oh.
So he's apparently had it this whole time.
He just was waiting. He's just been sitting it. He's been sitting on it.
He's been saving it.
Well, can't wait to see what that is.
I know.
And I guess my question for people listening right now is the magnitude of this wearing off? Or just how, I mean, how do you feel? First, I guess, how do you feel about this round of indictments? The fact, but also the fact that we have to say this round of indictments, you know, is there, is it wearing off?
Is it oversaturation?
Is it, it's not quite Boy Who Cried Wolf, but it's like the normalization. I mean, so much, I think, of what we've experienced since 2016 with Trump is just stuff that is unprecedented becoming either excusable or, you know, roll your eyes and that's Trump. But like the actual magnitude of how serious this is, like how much does that still, even for people who are not, because obviously there is a lot of people who either still think that there was either the election was stolen or there was irregularities with the election, who still are planning to vote for Trump in 2024 if they get the chance, are still, you know, hate Joe Biden. Like even for, like there's those people, but I think more for the people who want to see Trump be held accountable, try to keep up with the news, but aren't necessarily like fueled by every time there is Trump news,
right?
Which is kind of where I put myself, right? Is it losing its
oomph?
Yeah, is it losing the drama for you at all? Or is this each time there is something that comes out, does it feel as big as it would if it was alone? Like if it was in isolation? 844-967-2789. How do you feel about the latest indictments? Do you have any thoughts?
Wes from Middleton checking in. Meadows might actually be a smart defendant, unlike a few of them. But again, if he were cooperating, would he still be charged? If Meadows had flipped?
I don't know.
We're not lawyers.
We're not lawyers. We need Maggie or Jim Santel or any of our other smart lawyer friends who know more about how criminal cases like this typically go. But, I mean, the fact of why this one is a big one, as I ask whether or not the magnitude of this is wearing off on people, is that it's RICO. It's an unpardonable,
right,
by any president.
Right.
Unlike everything else that has the other three indictments so far. And so it's unpardonable also because it's a state charge. I guess that's more of it. It's unpardonable state, because it's a state charge,
exactly,
not because it's RICO.
Right.
But the specifics are really damning, I think, from what I've been reading, and harder to spin than some of these other cases that are ongoing. And so, you know, many close to Trump have long said that this would be the one case that could bring him down. So the details we know so far, some of the language from the indictment include, quote, a criminal enterprise. The indictment says the defendants, including Donald Trump, conspired and endeavored to conduct and participate in a criminal enterprise in Fulton County, Georgia, and elsewhere. And in the next paragraph, it calls it a criminal organization. And it's wild to read this, and because it really is. It's the type of language you hear, you like learn about in, at least for me, of my age, like mafia documentaries.
Oh, yeah.
Like documentaries I've seen about Rudy Giuliani taking down the mob. Like that was the wording that they used, right? Versus what Fannie Willis is using as far as everyone. I mean, and this is, it's, I mean, and it will be interesting because everything I've read is like in comparison to the Jack Smith case of how narrow that is and how specific and only going after Trump that one is versus this one that is so, you know, with 19 different defendants, that's 19 different legal teams and like how long this could be. And so what we will end up getting with, but getting from this, but definitely want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
We have Karina on the line from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina.
Good morning, ladies. Well, you see, it is tiresome to hear about a yellow man who speaks about himself in the third person. I don't know anyone who would speak that much about himself in the first person, except Elmo, probably. That's reality. I mean, he's talking about himself like this. But side is, what irritating for me is not the a role of indictment, but it's kind of taking so long. What is it taking so long? I mean, it's obvious that the man is lying. It's obvious that he used his privileges and power in a complete erosion, a version of himself as he is orange. I don't know. I have no idea. But the thing is, it has to happen. The people have to take responsibility. And it's a criminal charges. And as far as I understand, that if you're helping with the criminal charges or any other charges to save taxpayers' money, then the government or a state capable of offering you some sort of deals. And I think that this is what happens. And honestly, we only can appreciate someone helping with the criminal charges.
Absolutely.
As far as yeah.
Thanks
yeah.
a lot. Thanks
we
for the call, Karina.
In Wisconsin. We should do that in Wisconsin because our criminals are insane.
Yes, that's a completely different topic.
Security.
Thanks for the call, Karina. We got to get. We're going to get Tom from LA in before we go to the break. Tom from LA, what do you? How do you feel about the most recent indictment?
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. First, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, I don't care who it is. If somebody did a crime, they need to do the time. Mm-hmm. It's just the bottom line. You know, it's not one thing I like about this indictment is that, and it's the way the media should be covering it, that it's not just Donald Trump. You know, take some of the media narrative and some of the air out of his sails and don't talk so much about him, maybe, because that's all he wants is for people to talk about him. So what I say is talk about the other people that are in the indictment. If people call up and say, oh, it's a witch hunt. No, there's other people that are in this indictment, probably around 30 people. So this is a crime that has taken place, and we the people should be very, very upset about it because it's saying that some people are above the law, and they're not. And I think that that's what Fannie Willis did really, really well was she – you know, didn't make it all about Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean,
and I hope the media also makes it where it's not just about Donald Trump because he loves that stuff.
Yeah, it's 161 acts with 19 defendants and 30 unindicted co-conspirators across 7 states plus D.C.
Wow,
this is a massive
big
case. Which is like to Karina's point, why it took so long. Right. Like,
well, you want to make sure you got this buttoned up pretty tightly before you bring any charges because you want to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Thanks a lot for the call, Tom, before we let you go. We're going to take a break, but still want to hear from you. Trump the mob boss. How do you feel about the most recent indictment? Is the magnitude wearing off? Or are you still excited to see this be held to account? 844-967-2789. We'll be back after the break.
Tell me quick.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up. Or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really
and
palmetto bugs? Yes.
Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're going to be the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with lows around 55. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 83. Tomorrow, sunny skies. Cloudy tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 64. Cooler Thursday and Friday with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Before I go to the lines, and the lines are filling up, I will say this to Kurt of Madison, came in with an excellent call. I alluded at the end, there is a statute that says that if a federal official or a former federal official is criminally charged in a state court, and it's for anything he did in the course of his duties, he can remove it to federal court, special statute. Here, I think it's fairly obvious that there's nothing in Trump's official duties that required or even permitted him to try to overturn a fair election. In fact, quite to the contrary, he gave an oath to uphold the Constitution. But you never know what a federal judge will do when they get that removal petition. You never know what the Court of Appeals will do, and you never know what the six tarantulas will do. So stay tuned. The final thing I'll say on that is, even if it does get moved to federal court, no Republican governor or legislature can remove a federal judge. And if you got a halfway decent one, that would be a solid court to be in. Going quick to the lines, Gordon of Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Gordon?
Yes, I have a question. When it comes to the presidential election, and we have Republicans and the Democrats have a candidate, if the Republicans were to file, I'm not sure how they get on the ballot. Does the Republican Party have to file in each state? And if they were to file and say, Mike Pence, but then you could still get Donald Trump to file to get on the ballot also, right?
Well, let me answer that. That's a good question, Gordon. And just to clarify this, there are 50 states. They all have different rules on how you get on the ballot. Some of them require X signatures. Some require three or four times X. You know, whatever it is. In Wisconsin, we have an open primary. We have an open primary. And in the open primary, Democrats and Republicans can vote in any primary they want. But they can only vote once. So in the Republican primary, in the Democratic primary, it's not going to be much of a contest. Joe Biden's going to get it. If a clown like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. tries, he's not going to get it. This idiot up in Minnesota, I forget his name, even a congressman isn't going to get it. But in the Republican primary, let's say it's Trump. Let's say Trump files. Let's say Pence files, let's say DeSantis, you know, a couple of others. Okay. If Trump gets the plurality in that primary, then what he's going to do is he's going to get Wisconsin's delegates, and they will go to the Republican convention. The person who is on the November ballot will be the nominee of the Republican Party against the nominee of the Democratic Party. and what other, you know, the other odds and ends, nits and lice, whoever, you know, these third parties, whatever. So for Trump or Pence or anybody to get on our ballot in November, they've got to be the Republican nominee. And if they're the Republican nominee after the convention, they'll get on the ballot. So it's not a question of if the Republican Party says that they want Pence and they, you know, jury rigged their delegate deal and all that, that's their business. But they're the ones that will have to do it. Gordon, thanks a lot for calling. As always, Dick of Madison, my friend. Thank you. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, another horrible person slithered out from under a rock last night, Newt Gingrich. What, if anything, question is there to this nonsense that he's floating about defunding Jack Smith and the special counsel? If they could do that, why wouldn't they have done that right from the get-go? I don't even quite understand what he's babbling on about, but he was floating that last night.
Right. Well, first of all, he isn't the first guy to mention it. He is a lizard who slid out from under a rock, but nobody much cared about him anymore. But the truth is that he's not alone. The MAGA people have all said they're going to do it, and there's going to be a resolution in to do it. What they're getting at is normally anything that has to do with funding has to pass by a majority in the House, has to then pass by a majority in the Senate, and then has to be either vetoed or not or signed by Biden. There is a little known rule that they passed, and it may have been reduced to legislation a long time ago, that said they can target individual expenditures. Now, in trying to do it to Jack Smith, they're trying to do it to get Trump off their back. They still would have to have a majority in the House, and the House only has a 5 Republican majority right now. Some of the moderates, if they voted for that, if Stile or Gallagher voted for that, they'd be toast. So I don't think they will vote for it. Number two, it would still have to pass the Senate, and it's not going to pass the Senate. He was shooting his mouth off. He's the guy that is largely responsible for the present corruption of the Republican Party. Dick, thanks a lot. Mark from the SAC, my friend. You're next. What's in your mind today, Mark? We have 2 minutes.
I noticed today there was the article in that over in Michigan, there apparently some Republicans are having a soiree, a pool party, and the one guy was talking smart about there'd be violence if the attorney general there actually goes to prosecute the fake electors, and any of that kind of nonsense should just be dealt with severely. I mean, making those kind of threats, and I don't care. Oh, they're just mouthing off. No, that's they're actually encouraging that kind of violence, and I think that law enforcement should look at that stuff very seriously. Just because these guys are in public office and then they start talking smart about violence, they should be treated the same as anybody else who suggests violence and be prosecuted for it. I mean, that you can just say, well, I was just talking smart at this Republican soiree. BS. I mean, that they're actually encouraging violence, both probably in the state of Michigan and down in Georgia, and probably it will happen here in the state of Wisconsin if Josh Culliver gets off the dime and actually starts prosecuting these guys. And I want him to prosecute everybody here in the state of Wisconsin that was involved in that, including Fitzgerald, including Voss, was probably well aware of what was going on in the basement of the Capitol, of the illegal activity going on there, and neglected his duty to protect the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin and of the United States.
Excellent remarks. I agree with you. And I think we have honest law enforcement and we have honest military and National Guards. And if a bunch of guys tried to use violence, I think we'd put them down. Going to a break. I see you in the line. The rest of you, do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The death toll continues to rise from the wildfires in Maui. It's over 100 now, but expected to go up even more. Hawaii Governor Josh Green.
I spoke with someone who is dear to all of us this morning, and that's one of our superstar heroes, The Rock, who also was sharing with me his desire to see this land stay in the hands of the people. We agreed completely on that.
Former President Trump faces 13 counts in the Georgia indictment on efforts to overturn the state's election. WSB Atlanta reporter Veronica Waters says the district attorney is focusing on racketeering.
She noted that this conspiracy reaches across state lines. There are alleged crimes listed in seven states and the District of Columbia.
An entire police department in Minnesota has resigned. Good Hugh Mayor Ellen Anderson Buck.
I think we're all a little bit blindsided by it.
They quit because they say they weren't paid enough. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. And let me say this just before I go to the lines. Joe Biden was in Milwaukee today. He did a heck of a job. He was touting Bidenomics. I tout it from the rooftops. Lowest unemployment in what? Since 1969. That's 55 years old, 54 years. Inflation under control, wages going up, full employment, manufacturing companies doubled, the CHIPS Act, hard infrastructure, soft infrastructure. Republicans keep attacking them. What do they stand for? They stand for having to revote on Social Security either every year, if you are our guy, unfortunately, Ron Johnson, or every 5 years, if you are Rick Scott of Florida. That's what they want. You think they're going to vote on it when they can't even vote on a budget? And any one of them can shut things down? These are the people who want to get their hands on the money. They are crooked as a dog's hind leg. Joe Biden's done a great job. We're going to the lines. Karina of Milwaukee. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Karina?
Yes, hi. You know, how come Johnson doesn't do that? Well, I mean, look, Fannie puts her criminals charges in. How come the Johnson judges are not doing it? We have criminals in the Senate trying to take away Social Security for disabled from disabled children, for crying out loud. Why right. is criminal capable of going for a vote, winning, and sitting up there where he should be in the jail?
Why are we not doing this? No, right. I'm with you. And let me say a couple of things. We saw Ron Johnson, how he snuck back into office by, I think, about 1%. I don't think the messaging, but I don't want to get into all that again. This is a guy who said that Social Security should be voted on every year. Let's get real. Do you think it would pass in its present form in this House and in this Senate? Joe Biden would sign it if it did. But in this House, you have something like 70 of them that say they do not. They don't want to even honor the debt deal, and they're going to shut down any spending and shut down the government. You think if they're going to shut down the government, they're going to go, oh, well, except for Social Security? They've said these things. Open your eyes, open your ears, everybody. Number two, and this segues into our next topic here before I go back to the lines. Why are the fake electors and Voss and Fitzgerald and Ron Johnson and Republican leaders in this state not being prosecuted? Let me turn to Fannie Willis's indictment. Fannie Willis's indictment. There's 70 some odd pages that have detailed facts on over 160 overt acts. Why does that matter? To have a conspiracy charge or a RICO charge, you have to have two or more overt acts. What's an overt act? It's an act that's defined, and that was in furtherance of the conspiracy. Let me read you from Act 64. This is Fannie Willis in Georgia yesterday. Quote, on or about December 12, 2020, Kenneth John Cheesebro met with Brian Schimming. Brian Schimming is now the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, but he was not at that time, but he was a Republican bigwig. Kenneth John Cheesebro on December 12, 2020, met with Brian Schimming and discussed the upcoming December 14, 2020 meeting, it's 2 days later, of Trump electors in Wisconsin. Rudolph William Lewis Giuliani joined the meeting by telephone and stated that the media should not be notified of the December 14, 2020 meeting of Trump political presidential elector nominees in Wisconsin. These were overt acts in furtherance of the conspiracy, end quote. If a Georgia DA has fingered an overt act, why is there not an investigation going on in Wisconsin by our Justice Department? Now, Cheesebro had Wisconsin connections, but Cheesebro communicated with Schimming, Brian Schimming, who right now is the chairman of the Republican Party of the state right now. And it was a bigwig back then. And they communicated by email and they met. Then Cheesebro drafted a memo. The memo outlined the plan to draft electors, false electors, in states, in about seven of them, that were so-called swing states. In key swing states, including Wisconsin. And the indictment goes on to say, in the testimony of the former party chair, and let's hold the phone on that one, was that Andrew Hitt? He was a former party chair, and he did testify to the January 6th commission, and I think he may have testified to Jack Smith in private, in secret. The memo was sent, this is Cheesebro's memo, setting up the whole deal, the Green Bay sweep, the fake electors. That memo was sent to Trump's Wisconsin attorney, Jim Troupas. It was referred to as the Wisconsin memo. Well, that's great. The Wisconsin memo in recent indictments of Trump. it takes two overt acts in this state. And Fannie Willis just gave us one of them. It's the same one as it's Act 64 in her indictment. Let me off the top of my head give you a couple of other acts. Ron Johnson has the Michigan state electors in his pocket. And according to paragraph 101 of the indictment by Jack Smith, the Wisconsin ones too, and tries to shove them to Pence. That's an overt act. That's an overt act. Voss and Fitzgerald both set up, they both set up the room for the electors to meet in. That is an overt act. And this is just off the top of my head. I've just given you three overt acts, and you only needed two. It was kept secret because Giuliani said to keep it secret. He's been indicted in Georgia with Trump. Listen, even Inspector Clouseau, if you dump three overt acts on the guy, he would say, very interesting, there are three overt acts. Even if he didn't do any work himself, there's three overt acts. I just gave them to you. You could Xerox that indictment of Fannie Willis. Some of the counts wouldn't apply. The line about Ruby Freeman and Shane Moss would not apply. That wouldn't apply. But everything having to do with the fake electors would apply. Each signature by the fake electors on this fake document are overt acts. The sending of the fake document to the Senate and the National Archives are overt acts. How many overt acts do I have to come up with off the top of my head? Everybody knows these are overt acts. We have a lot of them. We have a lot of them. Why is there not prosecution of the fake electors in Wisconsin when there is prosecution of them by the DA, not even the attorney general, in one county in Georgia and by the attorney general in Michigan? Why? You can't continue to say it's a federal question. It's not a federal question. The DA in Georgia, the attorney general in Michigan, are state. They're not federal. These are violations of state laws. They're state conspiracy laws, state RICO statutes. You can play it too cagey. You can play it too safe. How many football games have you seen where you think you have a little bit of a lead and you decide to sit on the lead and you end up losing the game? Sitting back and doing nothing is not going to help in future elections. It's not going to make you liked by Republicans. It's going to make people in your own base say, what the hell are you doing? I just gave you all the overt acts. You only needed two of them. Fannie Willis gave one of them. And let me tell you something else. Fannie Willis mentioned overt acts in other states, not just Wisconsin. She mentioned them in Washington, D.C., in the Jack Smith case. She mentioned them in Nevada and Pennsylvania. If there's a conspiracy, it does not have to be neatly tied up with a bow. Of course, it can be over state lines. People are calling by telephone. Rudy Giuliani will say, wait a minute. I wasn't an overt act. I was just calling. What do you mean? You were just calling in and you laid down the law. You said, don't tell the press. We're going to keep this hidden. They lied about it. There was no indication of it. Some of these guys, and now I'll go to the line, some of these guys say, oh, well, we were just doing this in good faith, just in case a court had reversed the election. The court, as that was going on, declined to reverse the election 4-3 in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, number one. Number two, if you were in such good faith, why did you hide it? It's a cardinal principle of law that if you concealed your identity or concealed your location, that is also evidence of criminal intent. There are plenty of guys that rob a bank, they run away, they put on a wig, they shave off their mustache, and then they put on a different colored shirt. That's admissible as criminal intent. That's admissible as criminal intent. These clowns in this state, in the Republican Party, this is not the Republican Party of Fighting Bob La Follette. This is not the Republican Party of Dwight Eisenhower or Lee Dreyfus. This is a group of people who have stolen the Republican name, not paid for it, violated the copyright and trademark, and are trying to overturn our democracy. Prosecute them. Do not sit on it thinking that somebody else is going to do it. And then you can skate out of it and go, Republicans will like me because I didn't hurt their feelings. You're a prosecutor, prosecute. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Miami Today, Wisco Paul.
Oh, good afternoon, Matt. Boy, that's quite a lot to take in here for one day. But I don't know what Josh is doing. There has to be some reason he's not prosecuting. But I will say this. If Trump does go down for this, he will take everybody that's involved in this down with him, including Johnson. He'll take them all down because he will not go down by himself. That will not happen. So Republicans, beware. If you're involved in the fake electors, if you're involved in election denying, you're going to go down because this guy, it's too bad Josh doesn't jump on and give him some more ammunition. But when you look at all this stuff, man, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Gerrymandering districts have a lot to do with this because these districts are Republican safe. The way it used to be when we had swing districts, you couldn't have done this. You wouldn't have gotten away with it. When you have safe seats, you can do whatever the heck you want. So that's why Janet's got to do her due diligence. Do not listen to the Republicans. Do not listen to Voss. He's corrupt. They've been corrupt from 2011. So you have to do the right thing. We need fair maps. Thanks, Matt. And it's just a tremendous show, and you're so educational, and it really helps getting the truth out there. Thanks.
Great call, Paul. Thank you, as always, for your insight and your passion. And let me just pick up on one quick thing you said. Trump has stabbed in the back everybody who is loyal to him. Why do you think Michael Cohen went to jail over Stormy Daniels and not Trump? Michael Cohen never even met Stormy Daniels, but he went to jail. Why did Trump's CFO, chief financial officer, go to jail and not Trump? Trump has already said that his defense is advice of counsel. He has said, well, Giuliani and Cheeseborough and Eastman are well-known lawyers. They told me I could do this. Advice of counsel. I didn't have criminal intent. That's stabbing them. That's stabbing them in the back. He told them what to do. They cooked it up for him, and the shiv comes out right in their ribs. You know, why are these guys going to jail for this guy? This guy is sneaky. This guy is crooked as a dog's hind leg. And yet all these people, it's like the cult. It's like the Kool-Aid cult. Unbelievable. We go to a break. Do not hang up. I see you in the lines. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I know it, baby. You know it, too.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. okay? The pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with lows around 55. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow, high of 83. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow night, 64. Overcast. Cooler Thursday and Friday with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for scattered storms Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Well, I won't back down.
Welcome back to Matchland Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. John of Boaz, my friend. Thanks for calling, John. What's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. I love your show. I would like to say three things, first of all. Number one, Trump is setting a pattern. He's setting a pattern. And two, what does the book say? The Law Dictionary says about his actions and his speech. And the Law Dictionary, I've got it open right now, and it says, the offense of attempting by overt acts to overthrow the government of the state to which the offender owes allegiance. Treason. How come they're not talking about treason?
Right. Yeah, you know, John, I want to respond. That's a very, very good insight. And let me tell you why. Because it is treason. And what they have is so many other criminal statutes involved, they haven't gone there. But the reason why your call is very interesting to me is because Cheesebrough wrote another memo. The first one was the so-called Wisconsin memo setting out the fake Trump electors and what to do and how to then have the state legislatures appoint them. And then we'd keep Trump in office beyond January 20. And by the time that it got to people like Alito and Clarence Thomas and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, they would just install him and they would circumvent the presidential election. That was the Cheesebrough memo. Now, Cheesebrough said something else, however, in a memo that most people haven't focused on. And here's what he said. He said, there is a great deal of risk to this. Some people may think it's treasonous. Cheesebrough, Harvard Law School grad, advising Trump, who's now also indicted in Atlanta, used the word treason. And he put it in a memo. And the prosecutors have a copy of that memo. And Cheesebrough is a guy, and he's from Wisconsin. Apparently, he's from some town in central Wisconsin. His father was a music director in the local school. Cheesebrough went to Northwestern, did well, and went to Harvard Law School and was a Democrat until about 15 or so years ago. And he made a lot of money, and then he became a right-wing Republican. But this is a guy who himself, the author, the architect of this fake deal, of the fake Trump electors, as a way, sneaky way to circumvent a presidential election, seemed to get a little bit of cold feet. He didn't back out. He's been indicted. But he did say in this memo, there's a great deal of risk to this. Some people will look on it as treasonous. Well, you think what they were relying on is crooked Clarence Thomas and the corrupt Supreme Court to go along with them. That's what they were relying on. And when I've said many times in the show, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. It's a grown-up cat. It's here. We've kept it at bay because we have strong institutions, a free press. We have military academies that turn out excellent officers who are loyal to the United States, not to any individual man. And we've held on very, very well. But I'll tell you what, it is treason. It is treason. Going back to the lines, Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
I just wanted to respond real quick. I know you're close to the end of the show, and that is yesterday, caller at the end of the show was talking about Janet Protasiewicz and saying, oh, she should absolutely recuse herself with anything having to do with gerrymandering because she expressed an opinion about that prior to winning the election. I would point to you, this is from an article, 30th of March, 2023, Wisconsin Public Radio published this article, and it quoted from Dan Kelly, the Republican candidate in that election. This is from 2012. Dan Kelly said, quote, in regard to the gerrymandered map, quote, it's a good map. It's a solid map. It's constitutional. Again, he said, it's a good map. It's a solid map. It's constitutional. He has already expressed his opinion about gerrymandering and the state of it in Wisconsin. And I just think the notion that Janet should have to recuse herself after it's quite clear that Dan Kelly also had an opinion that he expressed prior to the election. Thanks a lot, Matt. Just wanted to get that in.
That's an excellent call, an excellent call. And abortion was another issue where each of them expressed opinions. And the Republicans are selective. They want one to recuse themselves and not the other. The thing about Janet Protasiewicz, I've known her and her husband for 40 years. He was a law school classmate of mine. She's one of the best judges in the state. And she was very careful. If you take a look at her statements, she said, I'm not going to prejudge how I will rule on any case, but it sure looks to me like these maps are rigged. They are rigged. And Kelly, as you said, came out the other way. So what, Republicans, you think that neither one of them should have sat if they'd won on this thing? The Republicans are trying an end run. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. They're going to try to impeach her. But the impeachment statute says it can only be for crime, misdemeanor, or corruption. And none of that applies to Janet Protasiewicz. Then it would go to the Supreme Court. She will sit on that case. If I were she, I would sit on it. What the hell? Gableman sat on it, even though he got $1 million from the manufacturers and upheld their tax exemption. Don't worry, Janet is tough. She's not going to recuse herself. Mary of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Mary?
Hi, Matt. Happy indictment day or next day. What I still have concerns about is the 147 Republican Congress members who attempted to illegally overturn the election results. They're calling them a group of 147. And these are the, remember when Trump said to the acting attorney general, just say the election is corrupt and I've got Congress people who will help me overturn the election. When are these folks that are sitting there in Congress who are traitors, who are insurrectionists, when are they going to be held accountable?
Excellent question. And Mary, thank you for reminding us of all that. There were 147, including McCarthy and including congressmen from this state that knifed our election. They tried to knife it. And there were three Supreme Court justices in the state who tried to do it. You're right, but you've got to start somewhere. And my strong plea to Josh Call is, for Pete's sake, you can frankly indict Ron Johnson, Voss, and Fitzgerald, and the fake electors. That would be a good start. Give Jack Smith some firepower. Fannie Willis is doing it. I think a lot of Fannie Willis. We're going to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Stand by for another great show. Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute, Matt Flynn Direct. Be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
It's It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Ferriman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.